Can you tell those kids to be quiet?
I'll close the door.
Okay.
Hey, hey, be nice to your sister. Hey, be nice to her.
Where's
that's not your. That's not your job.
You're the godfather, not the father.
No, the kids are all. Lexi is perfect. She gets picked on too much by her big brother.
Oh, all right.
That's how they learn.
Is that your job as godfather to bring that in?
She's my favorite.
You got a favorite? You said that out loud?
Yeah.
I hope the kids don't hear that.
Dave with the suit, ice in his veins. Josh cracking jokes, never mundane. Oh, my wild card, twisting your brain. Together they roll, FTS the name. Life's petty props, kick to the curb. Dave got the logic, never disturbed. Josh with the punchline, sharp like a verb. Oma the eccentric, slick like an herb. Friends talking shop, never gonna stop. Solving life's troubles while they spit in their bop. FTS crew, climbing to the top. Three homies chilling, yeah, they making the crop. Dave sees the ship.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the FTS podcast, Friends Talking Shop, Thanksgiving edition.
Very
we're heading
one.
Into the holiday, which we're looking forward to.
That's not a turkey.
Gobble, gobble is the correct pronunciation. And it's episode 80. We're now officially of an age where I would be very depressed. You know, I hope I get there, but once I do, it's like life is over.
We're octogenarians.
Arguably that is the age of the women I should be dating. But
yeah, that would be age appropriate for you. Would be 80. That's right.
Would be good for you. Anyway, we're ready to kick this off. It'll be maybe a little bit shorter episode, which, you know, everyone's breathing a sigh of relief because we're doing a tight show today.
We got dinners to cook.
We got things to do. That's right. Lots of things to celebrate. We're thankful for lots. But let's first kick things off. I'm Dave. If I didn't introduce myself, that's who I am. And I'm joined as usual by Josh. Josh, how you doing?
I am doing well. So football, we're right in the depth of it, right? And all three of our teams look playoff bound.
Looking strong. Yep.
Right? So I'm watching.
That's a good point.
Yeah. I'm watching football. And here's one thing I noticed that I wonder if you guys noticed. But they were doing a review before the Bears game, the 1 o'clock game. And they were talking about how they've had just bad luck. And one of the games they reviewed was when they lost on a last second Hail Mary. Against the Commanders, right? And Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. The Redskins, but yeah.
The Redskins for those back in the day. But what I noticed was, and this is a pet peeve, and I haven't really, when I heard them talk about it, I really started to think about it, and we got to stop doing this. So what happens is they won on a Hail Mary. For those of you who don't know what a Hail Mary is, it's just close your eyes, throw it to the end zone, bomb, usually at least 40 yards, more like 50 and 60.
What's the origins of Hail Mary? Do we know what it is?
It's biblical.
I think it's Catholic.
Yeah. It was it's when Notre Dame first played the Palestinians.
That was funny, Josh.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's actually not funny. It's the true story. It's an unknown football game that a lot of people don't hear about. It's in Leviticus. Yeah. It's in Leviticus.
Is that when Jesus scored six touchdowns?
That was Al Bundy when he scored it for Polk High. Jesus was there, though. So the Hail Mary. But they gush over the quarterback for the Hail Mary. And Dave, this might hit a sore spot for you because Aaron Rodgers is known for the Hail Mary.
He was great.
And the win, winning vis-a-vis Hail Mary. And I think he might have more than almost anyone in the NFL history. I don't know what the stat is, but they gush over the court. Remember Doug Flutie in Boston College, and they gushed over that. The Hail Mary, there's nothing to gush over. This is not a skill from the quarterback.
Oh, that's interesting. Gush word.
Don't you think so? It should be the
How
receiver.
How many get gushes and yet are not gush worthy in general? That's an interesting
shouldn't
question.
It, right? And shouldn't it be the receiver who went up and caught the ball in the middle of all – and they get praise too.
Aren't certain quarterbacks, Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers come to mind, known for throwing particularly good types of balls for
Okay, listen.
Hail Mary?
That's garbage. It's garbage.
Is it, David? David would know.
I have a thought.
Okay, please. Let me hear your thought on this.
Rodgers, you have to have a strong arms clip. A lot of them.
Yes, got to have a strong arm.
He had particularly parabolic throw that would come sort of straight down, that it wasn't sort of, I think if you can get that angle of the ball to come where it is, and the receiver can catch it.
Okay.
I think rather than just chucking it and having sort of more flatter ball. I mean, I remember Rodgers throwing one to the back of the end zone, and it was like they all bunched up and Randall Cobb was sitting like on the back.
Yes, I remember that. Line,
and he just, he cradled it. Because the thing came straight down. It just, he was very good.
Kind of like living in like Kiev.
Right. That's a horrible analogy. It's horrible. But okay.
That's a Hail Mary.
Other than that, though, he's not throwing it to anybody, right?
No, that's right.
He's not throwing it to anybody. It's really up for grabs, and he just happens to throw a better up for grabs ball. But that doesn't make – again, a quarterback who can throw it 50 yards is going to be able to throw a Hail Mary, every one of them. And whether or not it's caught is really out of their hands.
Well, I would say is this – are Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson's, are there – is the number of successful Hail Marys statistically – significantly different than the probability of everybody else?
Yeah, if it is, it can't be.
Numbers
it's got to be only how many could one quarterback?
Well, David would know this. Yeah. And that's why Rasheed Wallace says, ball don't lie.
Yeah, yeah. You got to be able – how many times have you seen a quarterback, you know, either can't escape pressure and can't throw it 60 yards?
Well, that's
yards,
true too, but
right?
That's not that's not his fault. That's the line. Yeah. There's only usually a three-man rush and you – every quarterback should be able to chuck it up 50 yards. That's all I'm saying. Every quarterback should be able to do that. That's all.
Yeah, there's a randomness to it that no one should be praised. It just it's more luck.
Thank you.
I don't understand why they don't practice. You get some guy who's 6'5", and what he does, he's trying to catch it. You tell him to get up there and touch it and like push it, you know, tip it like a volleyball over to, you know, have some guy standing over to the far left.
So you
can't where all the scrum is.
You can't purposely tip a ball forward. You could
tip it backward. Yes. But that I think that could be
difficult.
That could be because you know, just like in a rebound in basketball, you might not be able to get the rebound, but you can like, you know, tap it to somebody
that's
else.
True.
So why
tip
isn't
drill.
That part of the Hail Mary?
Okay. It could be. But all I'm saying is let's not go gaga over the quarterback who threw it.
All right.
That's all
enough.
I'm saying, right? Yeah. It's not like a half-court shot.
I chat GPT if there's a Hail Mary quarterback. It's Aaron Rodgers, Roger Staubach, Doug Flutie, Matthew Stafford, Kyle Murray.
Right,
Eli
but
Manning,
those are people
who have
completed one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if you've done more than
five. And lack for delivering,
if you have five or more in your career, I think there may be something to a skill. But I get to your point. There's a randomness
more luck.
To it that
more
I think
luck.
Is fair.
Yeah, it's more maybe. Luck and randomness. Anyway.
All right, I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
I'll let that stand.
Okay.
And also joining me is Omar from locations unknown, I guess. I guess we know where you are. How are you doing, Omar?
I am about to have an ego. I feel like this brand that we've been building, it's about to go to my head. So it's nice to be right before that moment happens.
Are you you're not talking about FTS. You're talking about your business affairs, right?
Yeah. I interviewed Mike Pompeo. I met Paul Ryan. Now the other flip of the coin, I'm financially broke. That's a nice balance. I happen to be at my best friend's, you know, palatial, arguably most beautiful house on the island in St. Bart's home.
Right.
With my five godkids. And, I'm thinking about this dumping every one of my business ideas, including this silly podcast and just living with them, becoming their Manny. I have room and board covered.
So, yeah. It's nice room and nice board.
Yeah, it's really nice, everything.
Yeah.
And the meals are free now. I don't have to even feign trying to pay with them out of dinner.
So would you
it's
be
amazing.
Fulfilled? Would you be fulfilled doing that?
I think if I had a side piece, yeah, which honestly is – well, this is one of my – this is my my topic. But I do think that, I interviewed Mike Pompeo, and I played the scene from Angel Has Fallen with Gerard Butler. Like White
I don't
House
know that.
Esque thing.
I don't know that scene.
And
tell us what you're talking about.
Scene where a bunch of drones come down. It was a purely geopolitical conversation I had with him. And a couple of things to note. A lot of people were said that I'm very good at interviewing, which is fascinating. Because as you guys know, I don't listen to anybody when they talk.
It's weird. It doesn't come through in the podcast.
That is weird.
Well, but
But number two, I didn't really enjoy it because I'm very nervous. And I interviewed him also at the George Bush Library in front of like 900 people. And somebody posted on their Twitter a picture of me interviewing Mike Pompeo that said, my nomination for future crypto czar. This guy's clearly dressed for the job. And I was wearing something very similar to this.
Yeah.
So that's kind of neat.
What was Paul Ryan like? I'm a Wisconsin.
He might be coming to Austin, guys.
Really?
Okay. No joke. All right.
No joke. He was fantastic. I mean, they're both fantastic. So I guess that's why they're politicians. But Mike Pompeo had one particularly really interesting anecdote, which I could share with you guys if you want to hear it about. I'm like, have you made any friends who you're still friends with when you were like the Secretary of Defense, whatever else? And he goes, yes. He goes, I have a friend who's at the was in the Japanese Parliament, and one of my other friends is also ex-Mossad.
Oh wow!
And he said, you know,
Mossad is Israel's intelligence agency. Yeah. Go ahead.
He said, whenever there's a he's very anti-Iran. And he said, whenever there's any kind of a explosion or anything that happens to Iran, we just call each other. And all we do on the phone is laugh. No words. And then we hang up because we know that everyone's listening to our phone call. So, which was kind of
interesting take.
Yeah.
All right. That is fascinating. I guess that's what people in higher seats do to for humor.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And then I also went, Joshy, a group I met, they want us to have a follow-up event in Dallas. Guess where? In Frisco, Texas. Guess what's in Frisco, Texas, Josh? Dave? Josh cares more about this.
Frisco, Texas?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I never even heard of Frisco, Texas.
Well, you're going to be there next year. Dallas Cowboys facilities.
Yeah.
That's where they practice. That's where we're having our event next year. I got introduced to Dak Prescott. Very quick hello. Yeah, they practice there.
Yeah.
And they want us to have the event in the Cowboys facilities. Okay, we'll do it.
We'll do it. And I'm going to bring a whole bunch of stuff that I'm going to
bring. There are no cameras, Josh.
Okay, perfect. No cameras? Wonderful. I might bring some Eagles paraphernalia just to smatter that around and hide it in certain places they can find years later. That would be wonderful.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's fun.
But, yeah, so that was my – that's been the last few weeks. And
all right. Dave, are you holding up?
I'm doing all right. I'm trying to think. It's hard to follow. Mr. Name Dropper over here. I did – I had an event in New York, and I guess I'll throw out one name. I met Larry Fink for the first time.
You want to tell everyone who Larry Fink is?
He's the head of BlackRock. It's probably not important. I don't want to talk about work, but you know, I thought that was pretty cool. And I think since I saw you, spent time in New York. Yeah, I still feel to myself, I went on this trip to New York by myself.
Yeah.
And I got home, I realized I left my house, went to New York, met people, did stuff, came home, and made it. I thought,
like a big
boy. I'm still amazed that I'm able to do all that.
Like a big boy.
Yeah. I feel so I was quite proud of myself. Usually,
that's weird, Dave. You do that all the time. That's stuff you do all the time.
It's still incredible to me that there's a part of me that thinks, you know, Wisconsin kid.
When you were a kid though, didn't you look at like your parents and be like, wow, they just know how to do everything? Like when you went on vacation, you just tagged along and just did whatever they said to get you from your home to some awesome vacation spot that you had no clue how far away it was from your home, but you just knew that your parents were able to get you there and set everything up. And it was just, you were like, wow, that's amazing. They can do that. And now you're doing it.
I know. I think it's because I always see myself as not, you know, always the adult or another version of what that looks like is I was watching one of the Packers talk and Xavier McKinney. Like he's a very mature, and I see him and he's talking. I'm like, man, he's a wise guy, and you know, really
wise guy or a wise guy?
Not a wise guy, a very wise individual. Yeah,
okay.
I'm like, and in my mind, he's older than I am. And then someone said, well, you know, he's still 25 years old. And I thought, 25.
Yeah,
but doesn't professional athletes feel like they're just always older than you? Especially
all the time. Right? And I had a conversation with my buddies when you know you get jerseys because you get jerseys of the teams that you love, and one of my friends, it was hilarious. He said, "Look, you know, because people were saying, oh, I'll get this jersey," and he said, "Look, I'm not going to get a jersey of anyone younger than me. It's weird. It's weird for a grown man to get a jersey of a 20-year-old boy."
Oh, interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
And when he put it like that, I was like, oh boy, you know what? That ruined jerseys.
Unless it's your son or someone that you know really well.
Sure. Yeah.
Of course. Of course. But
like I know Dak Prescott.
Yes, right. Like well, you and Dak, yeah. Dak are good buddies. No one wants that jersey, so you'll have no problem getting that one.
No, that's true.
But so since then, I really only get like players that I grew up with that, basically retired now.
Yeah.
That's how I do it. Yeah. Because that would kind of put like this seed in my head. Like, that's weird. I'm going to wear the shirt of a teenage boy. No.
Does it matter if you've met, like, say you've gone to a fan event and you met the player, like just like Omar, you think that still is weird? You're representing.
Yeah, you got to know them.
How about if you've like gotten high with them?
Yeah, I think that's fair. You can wear their jersey then.
So I could do Joaquin Noah.
You got high with Joaquin Noah?
Go back to that story. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yes, you can wear Joaquin Noah. Yes, go ahead.
Every year, your Joaquin Noah story comes up. I feel like.
Is that right?
I feel like this.
It's crowbarred in one way or the other.
So often. Yeah. Anyway, well, let's kick off the podcast. Yes. Remember, we want to keep it tight. So as we do this podcast, what we are trying to do is we each come together from wherever we are online. Not in person. And we each have a topic that we've thought about, but we haven't talked about with each other. We just surprise each other with it. And that's what we're going to do. And we're going to do it relatively quickly. And but before we get started, I wanted to let you know of ways of contacting us. We have an email address, friends@fts.media. We still encourage you to try and email us. It works. Just trust me. Website is friendstalkingshop.weebly.com. And then we're on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at Friends Talking Shop, or search Friends Talking Shop on YouTube. Yep. And you'll find us in particular TikTok and Instagram, I'm sure, is continuing to blow up until TikTok gets taken away.
That's right. Until it's gone.
Yeah. Until it's gone. So check us out there. That's I know some people that consume us in those more bite-sized sizes.
And that's fair.
Whatever works for you. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's kick off. Have I missed anything?
I don't think you have.
We're good.
I think we're in good shape.
Moving right along. I'm going to go first this week because I need your guys' advice. My wife and I are watching Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Have you never seen it before?
I have not watched it past. I've seen the first season maybe a couple times, and I would stop and I'd restart.
Oh, wow.
So we are going to plow our way through. I was like, how many seasons are there?
A lot.
12.
Yeah,
12
there's seasons. A lot. But you'll wish they were 24.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm smiling as soon as it starts. It just, because it reminds me of you guys, right?
Yes. It inspires me
to like think of topics. Hilarious. It's just, our spirit animal, that show. But there's an episode in season 3 where they meet a couple and they're really cold to them. And they are like, what was that about? Why are they so cold to us? They go, oh, wait, we forgot to get them a wedding gift.
Yeah.
Which prompted me to remember. Yes. That I forgot to get a wedding gift for somebody in real life. So let me explain the situation. It's someone we work with, Josh.
Okay.
They were getting married.
Yep.
And I was about to go to the wedding. It was like, on a Saturday, but then Thursday.
So you were invited.
I was invited. Okay. Yes, I didn't crash.
Yeah, right.
I didn't make them invite me. I think they invited me under their own free will. But the day or two before, I basically came down with COVID, or I had all the symptoms of COVID. This was not early COVID. It's, maybe a year-ish ago. And I was like, oh no, what do I do? Like, I know people around me has had it. I've been exposed. I feel sick. I don't want to go to the wedding, right?
No. You can't go with COVID anyway, even in today's day.
That's what I thought. Yeah. I was made a little feel guilty from other people about it, but let's just say that I thought I did the right thing because I thought I was sick. So I ended up not going. Which was, I felt bad. I emailed and said, hey, I'm feeling this way. I don't want to get anyone sick. I really hate to do this to you. And they're like, no problem, whatever.
Yeah.
And so
it's out of your control. It's not, you didn't do it on purpose.
Yeah. So then, but someone's like, you still have to get a gift because they paid for your dinner or what have you.
Even if you were invited and didn't go, you still have to get a gift.
Yeah. That's probably right. So, but I didn't go. So I forgot that happened. So I thought, well, I'll wait till I get better. And then 1 month passed and I have a card here that we bought that we didn't send. And like, that was my reminder. And then it got buried.
Yeah.
So I just forgot. So I, here I'm watching Curb Your Enthusiasm and watch how they got shut out. And then the episode goes on where they get a wedding gift later.
Yeah.
And they said, we're not accepting it because it's a year past the wedding. Do you remember this episode?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, yep.
This is happening to me.
Did it happen at the front door of their house?
Yeah, I didn't do that.
So that's what happened.
That's right. So now I'm like, oh, now I don't know what to do. I feel like, Christmas is close. I thought, why don't I do it as a Christmas gift? Like, it's a late wedding gift, but it's like a Christmas gift. And
how long ago was the wedding? Is it more than a year?
Over a year, probably.
It's over a year. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Probably. Maybe close. I think it is.
Okay. Okay.
So what do you think I should do? That's my question to you guys. Is it the whole thing, right? It's over a year. Let's assume it's over a year.
Here's what I think you do. I think you get them a extraordinary Christmas gift.
Like how much?
Whatever you were planning to spend for the wedding.
$25.
Okay. Then at least, at least 27. No. You need to go above and beyond on a Christmas gift. Because the deal is, this is how I see it. When you go longer than a year without giving the gift, it's over, right? The statute of limitations have hit. It's gone. You give a wedding gift now, it looks really weird. But, they're going to remember that, by the way, because even my wife remembers in our wedding, there were two people who did not give us a gift at our wedding.
But they went.
They went.
But I didn't go. Like, you do I go. Get a little bit?
That's what I'm saying. Yes, you didn't go, but you said you were going to go. So in other words, once you say you're going to go and it's the day before, it's as if you went. They have to pay for your meal because they paid for that many heads.
Yeah.
They didn't catch a break because you came down with COVID. Right? So it's as if you went. So you need to go, but I would double up on the amount you were going to spend on the wedding. I'd almost double it for a Christmas gift and go above and beyond. But call it a Christmas gift and let them be very happy and like overjoyed that you gave them something so awesome for Christmas. And then the wedding is done.
That was funny. My wife said,
see what I'm saying?
Do it that way, it's not like we're getting a Christmas gift every year. I was like, no, I'm not like establishing.
No, you're not setting a precedent here. Right. No.
It's a one-time thing.
Correct.
I think that's right. And now I got to think of what do you get? Now in the show, they got a bottle of wine. It was like a $300 bottle of wine, which they ended up drinking.
Yeah, so you have to embrace the creativity here.
Yes.
That's hard.
And it's got to be for both of them. Don't get something that's only for one of them. That's how you're going to get by this.
Well, what would you do? Do you have any ideas?
Well, thankfully for me, I never forget to give gifts, and I always go and I say I'm going to go. So I don't really have to think about this predicament whatsoever.
I was sick. I may have killed grandma.
But you had 12 months to get them a wedding gift, and you dropped the ball. How does your wife drop the ball on that too? I usually depend on my wife for that type of stuff.
I know. It's my work, and I think she felt that was probably my deal. And
all right. Okay. All right.
So
listen, I don't have an idea, but I just know it has to be for both of them. I know it has to be special. And I think Omar's right. It can't be ordinary. It cannot be an ordinary thing. So I would
Omar,
maybe
do
get,
you have any ideas of a good gift?
What about a good thing that's like kind of embraces the fact that you're self-centered and or forgetful?
A picture, day planner?
A picture of yourself. It's a painting of yourself.
I could give him a really nice calendar.
That's right. You know what you could do?
I got a great idea. Maybe you get someone like gift card that resets every year on their anniversary because it releases.
No,
another...
that's going to cost them in perpetuity. Are you nuts?
No, but it's like it's a modest number. It's like $25 a year.
No,
like
that looks like shit. Okay, here's what you do. Do you still have the wedding invitation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh no, I have the wedding card that we had.
What's the wedding card?
Invitation.
You don't have the invitation?
The card that we bought that we didn't know we're going to bring with us.
Never mind.
Okay.
If you had an invitation, you could frame that up real nicely or do something like that.
I like that.
You know what I mean? And it would be like commemorating the wedding. And that would kill two birds with one stone. That would actually be the ultimate gift right there. You frame that.
Their wedding invitation to me?
Yeah. It's not the envelope, not, you know, dear Dave. But the invitation itself, you know, like the cardstock, the real nice invitation.
I don't like that idea at all. No, who would want that?
All right. What do you mean who would want that? They put it on their wall. It's their invitation. I think any couple would want that.
Maybe send them a screenshot of that scene from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
That's not a bad idea.
How about the season 3 on DVD of Curb Your Enthusiasm?
And in particular, please note this
and just,
one episode.
Just tell them to watch that one episode.
Thank you. Thank you for being more patient than the Staffords, whatever their name is.
Right, right. I think we're onto something here. I like that idea.
It's a horrible idea.
Oh, Josh always hates my ideas. Josh,
it's
you're
a
the
bad
worst.
Idea. You know what you
I don't
get
like
them?
Him a bowl or, you know, like
oh, I got it. I got it. I got it. I got it. You ever see the Tavola?
What's that? No. That pizza?
Okay. A Jewish thing?
No, not a Jewish thing. It looks like a giant microwave, right? That's kind of what it looks like. Okay. And what's amazing about it is you buy Tavola ready meals and the meals, you just scan the barcode on the Tavola and it cooks it perfectly.
What are you talking about? What is this, George Jetson?
Look it up. It looks so cool. It looks so cool. It's like a Jetsons type thing. And it's expensive. It's not cheap. Or you get them like a big, like cappuccino, frappuccino, coffee, blah, blah, blah unit. You know those real expensive ones?
Yeah. We just bought one for someone else's wedding. Just that very thing.
That's what you
should get. How does Josh know this product?
I told you. Did you look it up? It's pretty cool.
It's not expensive. It says it's free.
It's not free.
Oh, that's perfect.
It's not free. It's not free.
It's a subscription model.
Yeah, it is a subscription model. That's right. The meals are a subscription model, but not.
Oh, this is
the
fast system. Model.
A what?
Fast, not SaaS. Software as a subscription service.
No, fast. Correct. Okay.
It's food as a. Come on.
Yes. Thank you. Listen, we're not in that mode right now. We're in the podcast mode. But that's what I would do. That's what I would do.
So you think some kitchen thing.
I think so. If you got them like a high-tech coffee station, oh my God, they would love it.
No, if you're Tavola, you're locking them into a payment plan. They don't want to be on that.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But that's not your problem. And the Tavola machine itself is so damn expensive.
Actually, you want to know what? I like that. It's a little passive aggressive. I like that. It's like getting me. It's like me getting my godkids like drums.
Omar, you should own a Tavola, by the way.
I should own a Tavola.
You should. It's perfect for
guys.
Well,
I may not. Well, when we get to my topic, we'll see. Okay. We can decide after that what you guys think.
Well, why don't we go there now, Omar? What's your topic this week?
So it's a theme topic around bringing something back again.
Okay.
Right? Bringing something that like the first one is at our event that we had in Dallas. I was moderating, and one of the managers was saying how hard it is to be a traditional private credit manager that has any exposure to a certain asset class. Again, a bunch of nonsense.
Is this work related?
Well, he said
you're going to lose people here.
Really, really hard. And I go on the microphone. That's what she said.
Oh, very good.
No, you didn't say that.
I did.
Did it get laughs?
I said that's what she said. But it was clear.
Yeah,
I purposely stopped it. But the whole audience understood.
Yes, of course.
There was, for the most part, a huge amount of laughter in the audience. loved it.
Were people falling off their seats?
People were laughing out loud.
Yeah, okay. So then it worked. It worked.
And I think we should bring that back again.
It never went away. I got news for you. Never went away.
Is that right?
Yeah.
With me
it
too,
never
maybe?
Went away. I've heard people say that now, not as much in today's time and day, but
that's
definitely people do say that.
Gone away. Did Me Too take it away? I guess I
no.
missed that.
My niece still says it. My wife's niece still says it. She says
like
it all the time.
Virgin and in an age appropriate way, of course.
Of course.
So
yeah.
The other thing, which is, when we did the updates on our so-called lives earlier, guys.
So cool.
I think we're going to be going through a paradigm shift.
Okay, what is that?
There's a 30 to 50% chance that I will be leaving Puerto Rico in the next few months.
Why? Where are you going?
Well, that's the topic. And
I thought the topic was bringing back a phrase.
It was a theme about bringing back. The second thing is bringing me back to goddamn civilization.
Okay, so right? Puerto Rico not cut it for you.
Well, I think 6 years, it's been effective for me to like, I love the island, love the people, but I want to come back to, so the options are Dallas, New York, or Miami.
Oh, wow. But you lived in Miami
thing,
and New York.
Well, different series as follows. A lot's happened in the last 6 years.
Yeah.
Miami would be, I'd be living with my best friends who I'm with right now. They have a palatial home in Delray. I would live with them.
Very nice. Very nice.
And I would get my own like pied a terre in my
house. Oh, so you would actually be living with them.
Yeah, they want me to move in with them. Yeah, 100%.
Oh, well, that would be nice. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the other option is for me to go to New York and get a loft there.
Get a place, yeah.
Soho. But a lot of my friends don't really live there anymore. Very, as far as you know, when you get older, you tend to move out.
Yeah.
So that's it's a very different, it's great for dating. And I'm a New Yorker. I mean, let's be honest.
Let's be honest.
And then we'll the other leg is Dallas, which is like, we have some friends there and I love country Western music.
Austin, you know? Not Dallas. I think you.
No, Austin's a little bit too removed and hard to get fly out of. I need like international airports.
Dallas is not a great town, man. I don't love Dallas.
But there's not that's just where everything's moving to. I actually think you should move to Dallas. Ugh. You crash at your friend's place in Miami as often as you can. Why be there full time? You want your own place. You want that option, don't you? And New York, skip it. It's too expensive. It's not. Things are moving to Texas. I think you should do Dallas.
No, I'm for Delray. You want
really?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. It's the weather, right?
No.
It's because you now are used to a certain weather with Puerto Rico. You're now used to a certain weather. So that's the one thing. You're not a winter dude anymore. So Delray is your answer. Plus, you get company. You get full time company. Yet,
yeah.
Who loves me? Yeah.
But that's because he visits. If he's there all the time, it's just like anything. When you become, if you love video games, you work at a video game store, you start to hate
him. Dave,
what? Do you really think too much of Omar is a problem?
Let's think about that.
Yeah. That's tongue-in-cheek. Right? Tongue-in-cheek, obviously.
I think you don't want to waste – I mean, you got a great thing there. They love having you. Go often. I mean, here in Dallas, you can get to Miami all the time.
If he has his separate quarters, though.
Yes, right? Right, well, and then, I will. And I'll have a place in Miami.
Then he could be as involved or not involved as much as he wants or as they want.
It's almost like living close to your parents when you go to college, right?
Yeah.
During the week, I'm working. Yeah. I'm in Miami. I'm on the phone all day and blah, blah, blah. And then on weekends, when I'm usually lonely and watching Netflix with a bag of Pringles on my sofa. Yeah,
I hear you.
In my boxers, I step with the kids, hang out with them.
I think it's the way to go.
I think this is actually right.
And I'll tell you what. And maybe you get a place. You know how you used to do your London month time, month at a time London deal.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
you do that in the summer because Delray in the summer sucks.
Oh, it's brutal. Well, they're running yachts now in the summers on the Malfi Coast. I can stay with them.
Of course, yeah.
His birthday is today.
His birthday is today. We sent a shout out birthday, online to Brett Barish. Happy birthday.
I don't think we should back off this. I don't think we got an answer. We just arrived.
No, we did get an answer.
Have we ruled out New York, though? Are we all agreeing that probably New York is?
Yeah, we're ruling out New York. Unless he wants to do a month, the summer months in New York or something like that.
Maybe the month of October, which is a good month to be in New York. It's a beautiful month to be there, right?
Hey, can the three of us get a place in New York for a month in the summer and hang there for?
And by three of us, Dave, you mean Omar getting
the
place?
Birthday boy.
Happy birthday! Look at a special appearance by Brett. Happy birthday, Brett!
This is our podcast.
We're all.
Is it on now?
Yeah, we're live.
We're live.
Omar, so many ideas for you guys. And I guarantee you, he's told you about all of them, but given me no credit.
What were your ideas?
So many. I had so many bits for him to talk about.
See, here's the deal, Brett. There's two parts to this. First, he's never brought up your name once with regard to any of his ideas.
See?
That's number one.
It's true.
Number two, though, hold on. There's a second part to this. The second part is, I don't think you want to be associated with any of the ideas he has brought up on this podcast.
He's had a few pickup lines that haven't been bad. I don't know. That's got to be his.
There are very few topics he's brought to our attention. Omar?
You know what I've decided about Omar?
Please.
He needs to move out?
No, he's the second responder.
The second responder?
What does that mean?
You're just not a first responder.
He's not a first. You're not a first responder.
You're not in the first responder. You're the second or third or fourth. I don't even know who those people are, but you're not the first.
Does Brett have an opinion on where you should move then?
We're on this?
That's my topic.
That was his topic.
Do you know what? Just so we're clear. I think he should move with us.
Yeah, that's okay. What we said. Yeah. Well, that's what I said. Dave said no, but I said
should,
yes.
I think like any good child who's lost, he should move back home for a little while.
I agree. I was trying to protect you. Don't you fear of getting sick of having him around too much? That's not a
come on.
No, I just I gotta give him credit. The kids like him for a little while, and he orders food constantly, so there's always
that's the benefit. Well, that's the benefit.
Some benefits. Yeah. He's just a mess. He is Oscar, and he's a mess.
He needs direction. He needs direction and structure, and that's what you are.
He's just.
Right. I asked.
The only good thing is, I have to be honest. The only good thing is, it's nice having a guy in the house who you know is not masturbating at all.
Oh, jeez.
Like, all right, on that note,
he's not
on that
bringing
note.
Girls back. He's not doing anything bad. There's nothing happening. Oh, God, he has no stories left. There's no girl stories. It's terrible.
They're going to pick
it
up.
It is bad.
I have the fun.
All right.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
So, maybe you should move in. You heard it right from the horse's mouth. But I think they want you around to be their punching bag, though, Omar. Are you sure you're ready for that?
I think so. Yeah. I think that's what he wants. This will calm his baby nerves too. You know, he always every once in a while he pops up wanting a baby. So this will put that to rest.
True.
Too.
That's true.
This kills
that's
a lot true. Of birds.
Yeah, here. I don't know. I don't know about
kills
that,
a lot
guys.
Of birds.
That's good. That might be part of the plan too. Who knows? We'll see what happens next year.
All right. Well,
there's going to be a lot of things changing next year, and I think it'll be a good. I think we've decided that it should be Florida.
Well, okay. Done.
It's a big year for you. Your company's taken off. You're moving back to the States.
Something. It's doing something.
I like it.
We'll see where it goes. But but it's kind of crazy because living in Puerto Rico, I'm so used to not people not being able to speak English.
Yes.
It sort of takes over your life. So habla español.
All right.
Anyway.
Yeah. I'd say I'm getting proud of Omar. Would you say are you there, Josh?
I've always been proud of Omar. Always. I've been proud of Omar since day one, number one. He's built something really awesome. And you know what? I'm now proud of you too, Dave. You went to a place, you met people, and then you came back. And you told us about it. And I think you should be very proud of that yourself.
We're proud of each other. Yes, look at us. Yes. Look at
Isn't
us big
nice?
Boys.
Isn't that nice? Yeah.
All right. Are we ready to just for the move this along? We'll go to Josh. You ready for your topic?
Yes, very. And also very excited, by the way. We got a surprise guest appearance there by none other than Brett Baer.
Birthday boy.
On his birthday. Very exciting. All right. So here's my topic. So I think I'm watching. You guys made fun of me because I always watch the news. But I am watching the news very different with a different view right now. And it just hit me the other day. There was a story. I don't know if you guys saw this story. Dave, you might have because it took place in your homeland of Wisconsin. But I'm watching the news with my wife, as we always do. And there was a story about a father of three in Wisconsin who faked his own death. And then – do you know this story?
Yeah, I just heard it. My wife told
yes.
me.
Yes. So he faked his own death and then went to Uzbekistan with his mistress.
Right.
All right?
Right.
Was his mistress Uzbekistanian?
That part of the story, I don't know. That's a really good question. I think she is. I think she's from Eastern Europe, somewhere in Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
I think she is. But here's what's crazy in my mentality. So I don't go, oh, my God, what a story. The first thing I think about now when I see that story on the news, and I told my wife, I go, I cannot wait for that Netflix documentary.
Yeah. Right.
That is going to be a kick-ass Netflix documentary. And that's how I view the news now. When something is tragic or something crazy like that, I don't think, oh, my God, that's crazy. That's I go, they're going to make a great documentary. Because I love those Netflix documentaries, and this one's going to be badass.
That is so crazy. I think I said that very thing to my wife as she's explaining it to me. I'm like, well, you don't have to give me all the details. I'll pick it up when it's on Netflix. But
are you serious?
I think I did, which is another sign. Yeah. But what was so crazy, she told me is did you hear the details of what he did?
Yeah, I know the details. I got them. They're unbelievable.
Oh, go ahead. Why don't you go through? Okay. You want to go through? It's fascinating.
So he's a 45-year-old guy, married, three kids, right? He goes
This is the life that you want in this guy.
This is unbelievable.
Went through all this to get out of it.
It's really
I don't want a wife either. I want one kid and two nannies.
Okay. All right. In case you ever with a wife and three kids, this is the blueprint for how to get out of it. So he goes kayaking in a Green Lake. You know where Green Lake is, Dave?
We go to Green Lake every summer. Yeah.
Okay. He staged.
It's a very deep lake too, so he thought that through. Okay. It's like the deepest lake in Wisconsin.
Very smart. See, this guy's not playing. You're not playing around. He did his homework before he did it. he staged the whole thing. He overturns his kayak. He then went out to the middle of the lake with the kayak, overturns it, brought a child-size inflatable raft. He blows it up while he's in the water and then takes that to shore, the inflatable raft. Then he had his e-bike waiting there. He takes the e-bike to the bus station and then
from
the bus.
Hold on. No. You know how far he went?
Tell me.
I think he went from Green Lake to Madison, I think is what which is a all-night e-bike ride. It's not close. It's a long
ride. Does the battery get you there?
I don't – well, it must have. He got to Uzbekistan, apparently. He did. But it's a long – because I think he had to get to a bus station.
He went to a bus station.
There's no place like Green Lake that –
in Detroit. Station. I'm sorry. He took the bus station in Detroit. He went from Detroit, took a bus to Canada, and then from Canada he flew to Uzbekistan.
Did he e-bike to Detroit?
Yeah, that's what it says. He rode his e-bike to the bus station in Detroit.
I knew it was long. I thought it was Madison. If it's Detroit, then
– it's crazy. It's crazy.
I can't think of how that's possible. I mean,
well, maybe I have that wrong, but that's what I thought because I wrote that down, and it's not exact.
I tell you,
but
you guys are both, I mean, knuckleheads. I'm a New York person. Detroit, Wisconsin, Madison, Dearborn, Green Lake. To me, it's all like I have no idea. They're all next to each other.
It's all the Midwest. The Midwest.
Everyone knows it's really hard to get an e-bike from Green Lake to Detroit.
It seems – I don't even know where those places are, but that seems like a very long way. It seems like a very long way. But anyway, and then he filed a few months before that. He brought a life insurance policy for $375,000. Somehow he got that money and put it in a foreign bank.
A life insurance on himself?
Yeah. He bought and I don't know how he got it, but he got the money from the policy, $375,000, and then put it in a foreign bank. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
That's the story.
Who was this woman that got him to do this? She must be pretty extraordinary.
I don't know if she got him to do this or he met her and thought, I really want to spend my life with her. And how am I going to leave my family and do that? And so he thought, I'll stage my own death. And therefore, my family will not think I'm an asshole.
Was the woman aware of this?
Now they are. Yeah. In fact, what's crazy is the family is begging him to come home. Come back to the States and come home for Christmas.
It shows you
Could you imagine
how women suffer their husbands? I mean, look at you two guys. You guys are pretty modest.
What?
Yeah.
Your wives.
You're equating this to us, to our life?
I'm just saying the bar that wives have for their husbands, it's precariously low.
It's really astounding to me. I mean, what this guy went through to get away from his family and just be with his mistress. But now it's all blown up. They all know. They all know he's alive.
To feign his own death by falling off of a ladder on his backpack.
I didn't try to do that. Unfortunately, that happened to me.
I wonder if you ever thought, here's an idea. Why don't I just tell my wife I'm leaving? Like, I guess you can't get life insurance money that way.
You can't get the insurance that way.
Yeah, and then you got to pay.
And he's an asshole. And he's leaving three kids behind to go to Eastern Europe. I mean, this. The whole thing is fraught with issues.
How was he discovered?
I don't know how he was discovered, but they now know that he is alive and well and with this woman in Europe, and he has not come back.
Remember, I knew that guy who was the fake Austrian prince. He had
But that's a whole scam. That's a scam for your whole existence, right? This is a one-time deal. This is I'm going to get off the proverbial map here. I'm going to change my name, everything else.
It sounds like your whole existence kind of thing too, but yeah, it's a little different. He's not outwardly saying he's a prince.
This is a one-time thing, or I think. Maybe he'll do it to this woman too once he gets her pregnant.
Some Ukrainian name?
But this is a one-time – like the scam you're talking about is someone who is doing it to build a lot of money and prestige and notoriety and doing it over and over and over and over. This is a one-time deal. There's a difference between the scams.
Change it too.
Huh?
If I had to change my name, what I would change it to if I went into hiding or something, like Yusuf, maybe?
Yusuf.
That sounds right for some reason. It came in my head.
You'd have perfect. To do something like that to make it stick.
This poor wife, though, she's got to tell her friends, like, look, not only did he want to, like, leave me and divorce me, but he really put a lot of effort into figuring this out.
It's crazy. It's absolutely nuts. But poor woman. You know, the other part of this is Does anyone ever get away with this? I mean, no one seems to really get away with this, right? Unless people are getting away with it, we don't know the story. So
yeah, that's impossible to answer that question,
Josh. I just solved my own thing there. But, you know, it seems like this always comes back to bite you in the ass, yeah. Right? And then you would think, even if you're away, like even if you're in Eastern Europe, you're still you. You still, unless he gets dramatic plastic surgery, you have to be thinking at any given time someone – social media would recognize, you know, you're posting stuff, maybe you're in stuff that you didn't realize is posted, who knows, but you're going to get found out, or you're going to be looking over your shoulder at least all that time. That can't be comfortable living.
But let me ask you something. Have you, when you heard this story,
yeah,
is there a part of you that thought, if I had to fake my own death, how would I do it? And I, you know, do you think you could be smart enough to like really think it through and like, I could get away with it? I'm not saying I want to do it. My wife listens to the podcast. Right. This is not me thinking this through. I haven't thought about it a lot. But just like given some time, like it feels like anyone who fakes their own death, it never works, right?
As far as we know.
It feels like
a movie. Remember, yes. The movie Gone Girl.
Yeah, I never saw that.
Didn't work for
it's a great movie.
For her.
Well, yeah. There was also the movie Double Jeopardy. Remember that with Ashley Judd, where he faked his own death. That was a great movie. He faked his own death. She got framed for his murder, and then he moved away to New Orleans and assumed a different identity.
That's right. And then she wanted to kill him again because she couldn't be charged with the same crime.
Because she couldn't be charged for double jeopardy. She couldn't be charged for the same crime twice.
I challenge the legality of that if she actually then kills. I don't know if that's actually true.
I wonder
when I saw it.
I wonder if a legal scholar who watched that movie said, no, that's not right.
But fake your own death, you know, if you do it, you know, through water, you know, I thought Green Lake, if you're going to get away with it, it's a deep lake. Like they said, they, you know, dragged the lake.
They looked for him. They looked for him for 54 days.
Yeah.
54 days. And I think they realized there is no body in here. And that's when they started to poke around. And maybe that's why
he was caught. Lake Michigan, which is
actually the bigger lake.
Deepest lake in Wisconsin, if you really think of it. They're not dragging through Lake Michigan. Like
I don't think you can. Yeah.
I think he picked the wrong lake, I think is the real story here.
Well, he wanted to be, you have to remember too, part of his story was he was going kayaking. So he can't say I'm going to go kayaking 200 miles away. It's got to be in a lake that's reasonable to go kayaking.
This is a guy who flew to Uzbekistan. You don't think he could have figured out a reason to be on Lake Michigan? He could.
No. Not by himself. Not by himself. He has to remember. He's got to be by himself. He can't be with people. He has to be by himself. Kayaking.
I think the flaw is this: he picked the wrong lake. That's what I'm saying.
All right. I think if you pick Lake Michigan, she's going, why did he go to Lake Michigan? That doesn't make any sense.
But you could go hiking, get lost, right? It could go to one of. That's another option.
Getting lost.
Fire.
There is-
Feels like fire, but they always find, you know,
remnants.
Maybe going on like those spaceship things again, lost in space.
that's going to be really hard to pull off. Atlantic. That's going to be hard to pull off. Yeah,
imagine that. Yeah, planning. You got to raise $100 million to get on.
It's not a bad. It's not. Yeah. Wait, and by the way, once you raise $100 million, you'd be like, well, I don't need to go anywhere. I got $100 million.
Yeah,
I'm done.
Anyway. No, he really wants to get away from his family. He's willing to spend it.
So now the news for me is all about what's the next documentary to come out. That's going to be very entertaining because this is going to be.
Are you watching one currently?
We did just watch one, but I'm going to save that for another episode because it was one that was phenomenal.
Is it have to do with a murder in Colorado?
It does not have to do with a murder in Colorado.
Okay, because we're watching the there's JonBenet Ramsey just dropped.
Yes, I saw that. I have not seen that.
I just don't understand how you guys watch documentaries. It's just
they're fantastic. Documentaries are wonderful.
And I got sucked in on this one.
You guys can't watch anime. It's like this crazy dichotomy we have.
You know, this is what documentaries are. They're the silver lining for bad things. Okay? Bad things happen, and we don't want bad things to happen. But if they do, there's entertainment value.
Yeah.
So shame on the Menendez brothers. And bravo to the Menendez brothers at the same time.
That's fair.
Right.
Is hey, before we sign off here.
Yes.
Tell me one thing you're thankful for. Can you give me a thankful? I assume you're thankful for, you know, your family and things like that. Is there anything that you're thankful for?
Don't assume.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I guess after that story, I shouldn't.
Now, yeah. I am very thankful for Omar's AV equipment. I think it's been top notch this season, and we have no delays, and everything goes off perfectly.
Omar, you have anything you want to reflect on your thankfulness?
I was going to say thankful. I'm thankful for my hair. I'm having a really good hair day right now. I'm thankful for I'm thankful for the fact that I, for some crazy way, I have a family who actually wants me to move in with them that I'm not related to.
That's very nice. That's
crazy.
That yes, is crazy. It is. How about you, Dave? What are you thankful for?
Yeah. Well, I'm going to say my family. I spent time with my grandson yesterday, and I got to tell you, that's nice. Just a game changer to have. But I'm thankful for artificial intelligence. I use that so often. I'm so thankful. It saves me so much time. I think it's going to extend my career 10 years. Like, it's so much I can just get done. The stuff I don't like doing, it just gets done. And
as a matter of fact, Josh, I think we should actually put the transcript of one of our our podcasts into ChatGPT and maybe do a bit with it.
See what it says?
Just take
see how it summarizes it. It's not a bad idea.
Some other topics that we could talk about, some other scenarios.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Not a bad idea.
Interesting.
Well, and I'm thankful for you guys. I'm thankful that we have a podcast. I don't know whose idea it was. I think it was mine, but I'm glad that we came up with this idea that we're doing it. 80 episodes.
Downloads? Can you believe it?
Josh, you said
almost 120,000 downloads.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
I don't know if that's divided by 80, but
don't do the math.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, anyway, and we're thankful for all of you. You know, you could tell us you're thankful for us by using our email address, which is friends at fts.media. I would love to hear from you.
But brilliantly done. Brilliantly done.
This isn't my first rodeo. Again, we have a website, friendstalkingshop.weely.com, and check us out on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. So hopefully we'll be on and get 81 out there soon. Hopefully get back in a good rhythm. Lots of changes coming in 2025 as we hear, but I think we'll keep rolling the podcast. So until that time, thanks, everyone. We'll see you later.
See ya.
Smile later.